This is The Invisible War with evangelist and author Dr. Rob Randall. There is a bigger battle going on in the world right now than we can even see. A battle that has existed since the beginning of time. This is not a war between countries, but an all-out assault on the very soul of people everywhere. Lives are being defeated and destroyed. Marriages are falling apart at an unprecedented rate. Children are rebelling against everything they've been taught. Addictions are rampant to everything you can think of. And all of this is the result of a spiritual war, which is the invisible war. And yet, there is hope. Rob Randall is a third-generation evangelist who has devoted his life to seeing people who have come to the end of themselves find a true life of promise and healing. The Invisible War is a journey that will lead us on the road to freedom and a path of fulfillment. There are no quick fixes, only a process, but it begins with the first step. So here's Rob Randall to take us through this journey one step at a time as we find hope in the Invisible War.
This is Rob Randall, and we're so deeply grateful that you have taken your time to tune in today. Thank you for the privilege of allowing us to come into your lives. I want to lead us in prayer that the Lord would come and take this teaching and accomplish His will in all of our lives. Lord, we thank you today for the sweet privilege that is ours to trust you with all that we are and all that we have. We thank you that you are able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we could ask or think. And Lord, we ask that you would take your word and that the Holy Spirit of God would be our teacher. And that through this truth, you would bring us into the freedom of the Lord Jesus Christ. Help us understand today what it is to walk in you. Thank you for your faithfulness. We pray in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. And now let's get right to the message for today in the Invisible War.
One of the great hindrances to revival within the church today is the praise and worship movement. Now, do not misunderstand what I'm telling you. I'm not speaking of praise and worship. We'll get to that in a moment. But the praise and worship movement that we have today, that you have to sing choruses instead of hymns, or you're not spiritual. All that has done is bruise the people of God. All that has done is divided churches. I travel across America. Our churches are bruised and battered and wounded because there are those young folks who have no respect for where the other folks have come from and their own walk with God, to the place that they are willing to bruise the church of Almighty God and wound them and say this is the only way that's real worship. Folks, let me tell you, it's as false to say the only way to worship is through hymns. It's not about style, but anything that is about dividing the body of Christ can't be of Christ. Anything that is about wounding the people of God surely is not of Christ. I want simply to point it out because it is a tool of the enemy. I've seen it over and over again. Where does that come from? Pleasing men rather than pleasing God. Now, God's power tools for His church in the invisible war. As I read the New Testament, God has given His church three power tools in this war. Okay? Number one is the power of prayer. Ephesians 3:20-21. Now unto Him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us. This is a power to it. You want the power of God in your life? Learn how to pray. Learn what it is to pray. Learn how to get a hold of heaven. There is power in prayer. All right? If you say to this mountain, be thou removed, it will be removed. And also, there's the power of praise and worship. But you said praise and worship is bad. No. The praise and worship movement. Praise is absolutely of God. We always come into His presence, into His courts with praise. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Praise Him in the morning. Praise Him in the noontime. Praise Him when the sun goes down. Be a people of praise. Why? There is great power in praise. And then there's a power of proclamation, the preaching of the gospel. What Jesus had to say about prayer. Now, You have this in the book. I don't have time to go over it. All right. This is a teaching on the Sermon on the Mount as Jesus taught prayer. It's a whole couple of more weeks of study just on prayer. All right. The hindrances to effective prayer. Unforgiving heart. Jesus taught clearly on the Sermon on the Mount, if you do not forgive others, He will not forgive you. That's why bitterness is so evil. If you have anything in your heart toward anyone, and you've not been willing to carry that to the judge who can handle it, to the one who is in charge, to Calvary, where all things are justified, then there's no need for you to even try to pray. God's not going to hear that prayer. Unbelief. If you don't believe what God says is true, there's no need for you to pray. If you don't believe that He answers those who ask Him and come to Him, humility, there's no need for you to come. Selfishness. James 4:3. You have not because you ask not. And when you do ask, you ask amiss because you want to have it on your own pleasures. You want to have this that you're asking on your pleasures, and so you do not receive from God. All right? Selfishness. How much we can say about selfishness. There's no need for you to pray that prayer that's about what you want. Remember, He taught us to pray, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Not my will, Lord, but Thine be done. Unconfessed sin. 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. There is sin in your life. You need to repent of it, and then you'll be able to pray. What will happen is when you try to pray, there'll be a wall that will come up. If there is unconfessed sin in my life, when I begin to pray, I'm not getting anything done, and I know it. I know it. Idols, Ezekiel 14:3. Son of man, these men have taken their idols unto their heart and put the stumbling block of their iniquity before their face. Should I be inquired of at all by them? Ezekiel 14:3. If there is anything in your life that means more to you than the Lord Jesus, there is no need for you to pray. Husbands dishonoring their wives, 1 Peter 3:7. You husbands likewise live with your wives in an understanding way as with a weaker vessel, since she is a woman. And grant her honor as a fellow heir of the grace of life, so that your prayers may not be hindered. Quickest way I know, fellas, for our prayers not to be heard is for us to dishonor our wives. Even in the darkness, even when no one's around, they are to be honored as a fellow heir of the grace of life. A hindrance to prayer, a stingy heart. Proverbs 21:13, he who shuts his ear to the cry of the poor will also cry himself and not be answered. A stingy, tightwad spirit is not a spiritual gift. It will keep the presence and power of God from your life. It will keep your prayers from being heard. Secrets to effective prayer. When you pray, pray unto Him. Acts 12:5. Pray with a clean heart before God. James 5:16. The prayer of a righteous man avails much. Pray without ceasing, earnestly, intensely, fervently. Leonard Ravenhill used the term travail when you pray. Folks, prayer is work. That's why there's very little of it done. It takes time. Fervently, travail, work at it, pray without ceasing. Keep on knocking, keep on working at it. Pray in the Spirit. We've looked at that in the study. What does it mean to pray in the Spirit? Let the Holy Spirit be in charge of the prayer meeting. He'll tell you what to pray for. He'll tell you when to start and when to stop. Let Him determine the agenda of the prayer meeting. Pray in the Spirit. Pray with fasting. We talked about that as well. Pray with fasting. Get the flesh out of the way. It is a simple exercise of getting the flesh out of the way so that when you do link your heart, the enemy has nothing of the flesh to hang on to. It is preparation for battle, as we have studied. Pray together with unbelievers. There's great power in prayer. There's greater power in corporate prayer. True worship in warfare. Let's talk about worship. Talked about the power of prayer. Now let's talk about the power of praise. True worship is supernatural. True worship is supernatural. John 4:24, God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. True worship is spontaneous. We find that in 2 Corinthians 29:28. That does not mean that it should be done without order. It just simply means that it is a spontaneous response to what God has taught us and what God has done in our lives. It is a spontaneous matter. It is not some emotional ecstasy worked up by a cheerleader calling himself a worship leader. True worship is an instantaneous response to the presence and work of God. Folks, I have no problem with someone standing up and clapping their hands if it's spontaneous. But when someone has to get up before everybody and say, okay, let's stand up and clap our hands and worship God, I have a problem with it. I have no problem with dancing in the aisles if it is spontaneous and instantaneous to what God has done. But if it is something that somebody has to teach us to do, I have a problem with it. Do you follow what I'm saying? It needs to be a genuine, spontaneous response to what God has done for us. True worship is sacrificial. Romans 12:1. I urge you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. It is a sacrifice. What does that mean? Our worship is a gift to the Lord. It is giving of ourselves. It is all that we are laying down at His feet for all that He is. True worship is sanctified. He will purify the sons of Levi and refine them like gold and silver so that they may present to the Lord offerings of righteousness. Malachi 2:3. True worship is sanctified. It is set apart. Worship is different than anything else we do. It's not like going to the grocery store. But you can worship as you go to the grocery store. You follow what I'm saying? You can worship anywhere at any time. But it is different. It is walking in the Lord. It is thanking Him. It is being grateful for what He's done for us. It is a set apart work wherever we do it, wherever it is. True worship is submissive. God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Submit therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. This is where we usually lose out in worship. We come arrogantly, pridefully. Those of us who are preachers, we come as skeptics. Nobody can size up a worship service quicker than we can. Nobody can size up a preacher and his faults quicker than we can. We have degrees in skepticism. We know how to do that. Folks, let me tell you. Your opinion and my opinion do not matter in worship. It is about the Lord Jesus and He alone. Power to win our world to Christ, all right? The preaching of the gospel. We've talked about the power of prayer. We've talked about the power of praise. God sits enthroned on the praises of His people. Why do you think Satan hates praise? He hates it, by the way. You want to clean your house up? Get some CD players, okay, and some praise and worship, wonderful praise songs, okay? Whatever blesses your heart will bless the heart of the Lord, you know, whatever that is. And you get CD players in strategic places in your home and push the repeat button and play them 24/7. Demons can't stand it, okay? Let me tell you why. The praise of God's people reminds the enemy who is Creator. You see, everything Satan has done is to try to rob God of His glory. And praise gives God back His glory. And they can't stand it. If you really want to see, and I don't know why you'd want to, but if you really want to see demonic manifestations, get into churches that really know how to praise. That are free enough, they're not concerned about their egos or their pride or any of that, and they really are free to worship the Lord instantaneously, spontaneously, in gratitude to the Lord. Let me tell you, if somebody walks in there that has a demonic manifestation or infestation, demons can't stand that. They can't stand it. In fact, a couple of years ago, a youth camp, the folks began to praise the Lord. The young people began to praise the Lord. And there was more demonic manifestations at that camp than the church had seen in many, many years. In Africa, as I have preached in Africa, it was when the praise of the Africans would take place. And do they know how to sing? Woo! I mean, do they know how to praise? Do they? And it's orderly. It's done special. But it is hours of praise. They'll clap. They all clap together. They get up and they do this little thing. Go, and that's when they really get excited. And they turn around and sit back down. And they're dancing. They'll file around. Anyway, it's just wonderful to be a part of it. They may not have an instrument in there. But, oh, can they sing? And they even let us sing with them, which was a blessing. Amen? And we tried not to get in their way. Amen? It was a wonderful time. But in almost every kind of service that brought great praise to the Lord Jesus, demonic manifestations would begin to take place. And the pastors, bless their hearts, they're so used to it. For us, it's a big deal, you know. We're just catching on to this, you know. But over there, they just wonderfully take the person outside. They pray for them. They're delivered in a few minutes, and back they come, and they start singing again and worshiping. It's just like normal stuff over there, right? They're used to that. Why? There's so much witchcraft. There's so much in the culture. There's so much there. But by the way, we have airplanes now. And they've brought that now into our culture, and our kids are picking up on it. And we can no longer, as I've shared many times, we can no longer ignore this matter. If we do, it is only to our destruction here in America. Only to our destruction. Now, the power to win our world to Christ, okay? We have the power of prayer, the power of praise and worship, and the power of the preaching of the gospel. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, Paul said, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. All right? Now, the Lord has given us His authority. He told us to do it. He says, all authority is given to me, both in heaven and earth. Go proclaim. Go teach. Go preach. Go win them. In my authority, in my power, He's given us His power. Acts 1:8, after the Holy Ghost have come upon you, you will be my witnesses. He's given us His authority, He's given us His power, He's given us His mandate, He told us to do it. He's given us His plan, He told us how to do it, He's even given us the strategy as to how He wants it done. In Matthew 28:18-20, He's given us His presence, and lo, I am with you always. Wherever you go, the ends of the earth, wherever you go proclaiming, I'll be with you. Wherever it is, I will never leave you nor forsake you. He's promised His presence. And He's given us His victory. We go in His victory. Colossians 2:13-15. And He's given us His position in Christ. Our union in this matter of winning our world is in Him. It is in the Lord Jesus. And He has given us His Word. My. You know, I believe with all of my heart that when Jesus comes again for His church in the rapture, there's going to be a lot of tears. There's going to be a lot of weeping. There's going to be a lot of crying. I believe preachers are going to be weeping. I believe evangelists are going to be crying. Oh, we'll be thrilled to see Jesus. You bet. It'll be a great joy to see Him. But you remember the last words He gave before He ascended to the right hand of God the Father. Is for us to go and win the world. And His feet will one day stand on the same mountain that He left on. Zechariah tells us that. I believe that when we see Him, He's going to have the same message on His lips that He left with. And it will be, what did you do with what I told you to do? I told you how to do it. I gave you my authority. I gave you my word. I gave you my power over all demons. What did you do with it? The Lord has been so faithful to us to give us everything we need to win our world to the Lord Jesus. How are we to win our world? How should we take our towns and cities for Christ in the invisible war? Should we take them through the confrontation of evil spirits? Should we take them through establishing a rule of righteousness in the schools and courts of our land through political power? Should we take them by building more buildings we call churches and establishing more Christian organizations? You hear me and hear me well. If we are going to take our cities and towns and our world for Christ. We must do it one child at a time. One man, one woman, one boy, one girl, one lost person at a time. One merchant, one shopper, one wife, one husband at a time. It is through the power of the proclamation of the gospel of Christ that God resides. Our cities and towns will come to submit to the lordship of Christ when everyone in that city comes to put their complete trust and faith in the Lord Jesus. My prayer is that we would join together in our union with Christ in accepting the responsibility of the authority and power of God given to His church. However long our Heavenly Father assigns our time on this earth, whatever that means, may we accept nothing less than the victory and freedom that is ours in the Lord Jesus. Today and into the tomorrows, let us live as a praying people. Let us go as a praising people. Let us be the people of God committed to the eternal purposes of God. May we not rest till every man, woman, boy, and girl comes to understand that Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. For it is in Christ and Christ alone that people are set free. He is the one that bought this freedom for everyone. It is His will that none perish, but that everyone might come to faith and repentance. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for today. Thank You for this time. Lord, we thank You for this study. You've been so good to meet us. Lord, we are passionate because we believe You're passionate about what You've told us to do. Lord, we're not doing it very well. In fact, we're failing at what You've told us to do. Lord, I pray for those within the sound of this voice that You would come in great power and bring the refiner's fire and clean up the junk, the lies, the trash, the sorrows, the wounds. Lord, heal the wounds. Lord, may You come like a refiner's fire and clean up everything that is not of Christ in our hearts and lives, so that the light of the Lord Jesus might not only shine in us, but it would be able to shine forth through us to this old dark world. Lord, it is You and You alone we have our faith. As Peter said to You long ago, we echo it. Where else would we go? You and You alone have the words of life. Thank You for this time. Bless it in eternity. In Jesus' mighty name I pray. Amen.
Thank you, Rob, and we'll look forward to hearing more next time as we continue in this series on The Invisible War. It is by your faithfully standing with us that we're able to bring the invisible war to you each week by radio. Thank you for joining with us in prayer as we take this life-changing truth to the many hurting and wounded. And thank you for your financial support for the invisible war. As you consider your year-end giving, please give as generous a gift as our Lord would lead you to give to this most important ministry of healing and cleansing. You can give your gifts online. Go to our website, theinvisiblewar.org, or call toll-free 877-808-8886. That's toll-free 1-877-808-8886, and we look forward to hearing from you. If you would like to have Dr. Randall speak to your church, there are still dates available in the upcoming new year, but you better get in fast. You'll be encouraged and blessed to hear such an important and fresh message from God's servant. Why not consider a conference or a retreat or a series of evangelistic meetings to call your community to repentance and faith in Christ? Dr. Randall would consider it a great honor to work with your church and see the purposes of God as it is in heaven. Contact Dr. Randall today at theinvisiblewar.org or call 877-808-8886. That's 877-808-8886. Now some closing words from Dr. Randall.
I want to thank personally those of you who have and are supporting the Invisible War. And for others who could help, may I encourage you to give as generous a gift as the Lord would allow you to give this day. Please help us, stand with us, that we might be able to take this message to those who so desperately need it. If you can give a gift today, let us know. Visit our website, theinvisiblewar.org. There are many ways that you can give there. Our address is there on the website, or you can call us. Let us know how we can help you. 1-877-808-8886. That's toll free, 1-877-808-8886. Please pray for us. This message desperately needs intercessors. And thank you for your giving. Thank you for listening. We look forward to next week when we share once again the Word of God from His heart to your heart in the invisible war.
This has been the weekly radio program called The Invisible War with Rob Randall. You don't have to live defeated, heartbroken, or in bondage to anything. Give everything you are to everything He is, and you will begin to see your life transformed into the life He has made you to be, for your sake and for everyone around you. Remember to check out theinvisiblewar.org for resources, podcasts, information, and just a place to let us know how to pray for you. We'll see you next time on The Invisible War.